Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and we'll be reading verses 38 through 50. Hear now these words. "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, may our hearts be prepared as Pastor Pamela Sheffield comes to with this week's message, "Who is not against us is for us."
Let us pray. Dear Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Scripture was read and the title was spoken. Who is not against us is for us. Mark's story begins of the transfiguration, and it opens chapter 9, following the prediction of the passion. Mark is presenting the suffering and crucified one, and the continuing failure of the disciple as they show themselves unable to deal with the concept of servanthood or of any appropriate faith. The saying in verse 40 is the heart of the first section. It says, "For he that is not against us is on our side." When John boasts about trying to stop the man from casting out demons, this provides a setting. Jesus forbidding disciples' unwillingness to have anyone invoking his power is justified by saying, "He that is not against us is for us." Mark's church, faced with hostile word, would have found comfort in such a word that says, "Friends are where you find them." It's natural for us to be weary of others. But God will decide who is insiders and who is outsiders. I know that we humans are protective species just like other species. But Jesus called his disciples to overcome the natural person and grow into Jesus likeness. Ephesians 4:24-25 says, "And to put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of us must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to our neighbors, for we are all members of one body." In other words, new self means to be like Jesus in all walks of life, not just when you're sitting in the church, but when you're out there and you see someone lying in the street. Everything you do must be done in the name of Jesus. He is calling all of us to a new life and to put off the old one. We cannot do anything we used to do before we got saved. Now we have to do the things with a good heart and expect nothing in return. Mark 38:50 said, Jesus said, John said to Jesus, teacher, we saw someone throwing out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us. Jesus replied, "Don't stop him. No one who does powerful acts in my name can quickly turn around and curse me. Whosoever isn't against us is for us. I assure you that whosoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will certainly be rewarded." Brothers and sisters, John, son of Zebedee, seems intolerant when he rebuked a person who cast out demon in Jesus' name. But a closer view makes the biblical text look as if it is realistically about cliques or groups. Maybe it is only natural for a human being to be wary of outsiders. But who decides who is an outsider or an insider? You? I don't think so. God does. I know we humans are protective species, like all the other species. But Jesus calls his disciples to overcome the natural person and grow in Jesus' likeness. Ephesians calls people to new life from the old. Too often, people are naturally prone to self-selection. Insiders, we form different groups and function as if we are insiders and others are outsiders. As our focal passage begins, we see clearly that even disciples were not exempt from this behavior. Christian division has been in effect since the beginning of time. In Corinthians, Paul heard about disagreement from the Chloe people. Chloe had people named droppers try to enlist Paul on their side. Apollos baptized some, Cephas baptized others, and even Paul, he baptized a few. He admit that. And other elites said they belong to Christ's clique. 1 Corinthians 11:17-18 says, in the following directives, I have no praise for you. For your meetings do not do more harm than good. In the first place, I heard that when you come together as church, there are division amongst you, and some extend, I believe it. That's the Bible. But, brothers and sisters, we can thank God that there is no division among us in this church. I believe that Okoye Oaks Church is doing a pretty good job when it comes to division, hospitality, and humility. We do not tolerate things that are not of God. Who is not against us is for us. We're not perfect. We will make mistakes, but we must correct our mistake. Let's talk a little bit about hospitality and humility. Mark often portrayed the disciples as confused or lacking understanding about Jesus' mission and purpose. When the disciples encountered a person casting out demons in Jesus' name, John boasted of their attempt to stop them, not because this person was ineffective, but because he does not fit the test of their inclusion. In other words, man, you do not belong here. No. No one gave you permission to cast out demons. How dare you do it in Jesus' name? Brother and sister, he failed to belong to their club, their cliques. His exclusion was due to the fact that he was not a member of the disciples' club. He was not part of them. He was not chosen by Jesus, as according to them. He's an outsider. Disciples trying to draw a dividing line between themselves and others. We know people like that, don't we? Think we do not belong in their little cliques. We're not good enough or smart enough. Come on, folks. You know what I'm talking about. It even happens in our family, our friends, etc. The attitude of the disciples towards the man revealed not so nice spirit that had emerged. Jesus immediately said to them, rather than worrying about someone else, they should concern themselves with offering a cup of water to those who is in need. Disciples entail hospitality. Let's go back to verse 36 and 37. It says, he took a child and had him stand up amongst them, taking the baby or child in the arms. He said to his disciple, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. In other words, instead of using people, we ought to be of service to them. Jesus' mission was to serve others and give his life away. A real leader has a servant heart. Servant leaders appreciate others' worth and realize they are not above any job. The meaning of discipleship is to care for others. I heard a story about a young man, a little boy, and you might have heard it too, and he was in the street begging. and a white lady came by. He was a little black boy, and a white lady came by. And the white lady said to him, "Where's your parents?" "My mother died." "Where's your father?" "I don't know my father." "Then who are you living with?" "My grandmother, but she's poor, and she can't take care of me." The lady went in her purse, and she looked at it. Her husband was beside her. She took out her mortgage money, and she gave it to the boy. The husband said, "What are you doing? Why are you giving away the money? You gotta pay we gotta pay the mortgage." The wife said, "We'll get more." But he has nothing. He has nothing. We need to be careful. This young man grew up, had a very good job, making good money. He heard about the husband lost his job and that they are going to lose their home. Not going to, they lost their home. Someone bought the house. The person came and sat in his car. The realtor came to the door and knocked. "You got to get out now. The owner is here for his house." They opened the door. Came to the door and says, "Okay." The gentleman got out of his car and tell the realtor to leave. He turned to the lady and said, "Here, the house is yours." She said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You're the one who helped me when I needed someone, when I had no one. But you gave me your mortgage money." At first, they didn't recognize the young man. He said, "I am returning the favor that you did to me. The kindness of others." The husband was shocked. He did not know what to say. Brothers and sisters, who is against us, who is not against us, is for us. The lady did not see color. She saw a child who was hungry and needed help. In my heart, I believe that she was a Christian and that she had a servant heart. I wonder how many of us would take our mortgage money and give it away? Brothers and sisters, ministry involves around giving priority to those who are less fortunate. There's a song that said, "In the fall you were there. Grace began before I was aware. The shame for me to hide covered. Now because of Jesus Christ. I can't believe the price you paid for me. What you did not owe so that I could know you. How can it be? You chose me. Someone like me to declare your praise. For the glory of your name, to the one who gave it all, I belong with all my heart and soul. And every gain I count as lost. You gave your life upon the cross to make your home within my heart. Oh, what a faithful God you are. Oh, your praise will forever be in my heart. I can't imagine how that family felt when that young man came and returned the favor. That husband must have felt ashamed that he almost caused a stumbling block. If he had blocked his wife from giving that money, oh, where would he be today? Him and his family probably would be in the street. Let's talk a little bit about stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks can prevent us from growing in the path of discipleship. This means we should look inside ourselves. John decided to point finger at the man who was casting out demons in Jesus' name. Jesus told his followers not to worry about what others do, but engage in self-reflection that leads to mature growth. Finger pointing does not work with Jesus, and it should not work with us. The disciple eager to heap judgment on the outsider who act in Jesus' name. But what Jesus wants is for them to see their own behavior. Brothers and sisters, often the stumbling blocks are not outside of us, but inside of us. We should look in our lives and see what causes us to fail, like anger, revenge, judgment, prejudice, pride, fear, lies, gossip, and desire for power and control. What Jesus is saying is that we must look inside ourselves and think about these examples and see which one is causing us to stumble. Jesus' ministry offers a model for all who reach out in the love to their neighbors. When we serve our neighbor, we should not look for a reward. We should do it out of the love and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Jesus warned the disciples against placing hindrance in the way of children. He shows a special place in his heart for children and the less fortunate. Verse 42 says, "As for whosoever caused these little ones who believe in me to stumble and fall into sin, it would be better for them to have a big stone hang around their neck and be thrown in the lake." Don't forbid anyone, because God's kingdom belongs to us, his children, and everyone who believe in him. This church belongs to everyone. It belongs to God, first of all, and then it belongs to the people. We need to love one another, which we do a very good job here, I must say. We do. It's the honest truth. Anything happen to anyone, we're there for each other. But Jesus' harsh word about the outcome for the people who cause weaker ones to fall anticipates his future teaching about children and the powerless in society in general. They are good reminders to us to examine our lives and consider the ways we treat children and the less fortunate we encounter daily. We must follow God's warning about causing others to stumble. Jesus pointed to another of Mark's discipleship, the ability to avoid sin at all costs. Jesus spoke of three particular parts, body parts: hand, foot, and eye. That's found in verse 43 to 47. The removal of these body parts reflect the ancient punishment for the crimes of the theft and adulteress rendered in those days. I believe the point Jesus is making is for us to resist anything that caused us to stumble. Jesus said, "Salt and fire help us to recognize what is distinctive and enduring about our Christian faith." Verse 49:50 says, For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if it's lost its saltiness, how can it make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Jesus used salt to illustrate three qualities that should be found in his people. First, we should remember God's faithfulness. Jesus as salt, just as salt, when used with a sacrifice, recalling God's covenant with his people, which is found in Leviticus 2:13. Second one, we should make a difference in the flavor of the world we live in. Just as salt changed meat flavor, it changes us. We should counteract the moral decay in society, just as salt preserves food from decay. When we lose the desire to salt the earth with love and the message of God, we become useless to him. As Christian, God wants us to live and love differently, not like the non-Christians. Brothers and sisters, the reaction of the to get recognition or reward usually become so big that our best intention are corrupt and our desire blind us to the accomplishment of others. Whatever we do it, but don't announce it to the world. Jesus is moving from us, from ourselves, and for us to think about stumbling blocks that are systematic in our society today. When we pray, or when we pay, or when we do close attention to the message Jesus used, like drowning by milestone, the amputation of our foot, taking out your eyeballs, fire and worms that never goes away. We should not take that literally, but absolutely seriously. The Lord asks us to serve as building blocks rather than stumbling blocks. Jesus transformed each of us, and we cannot put our discipleship off to the side on a shelf and to take it whenever we feel like it. Discipleship is a dynamic way of life that entails movement. Refuse to remain stagnant. Always remember, there is another way to go, and it opens the next step of faith. We should intentionally work hard and look in ourselves, grow in our relationship with others, and especially with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, our decision to walk in God's ways is what we are created for. So let us walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Repeat after me, everyone. Lord, I know that I can't do anything by myself, but with you by my side, I can do it. God is an omnipresent. He is present everywhere. We can never be lost to his spirit. This is good news to those who know and love God, because no matter what we do or where we go, we can never be far from God's comforting presence. If anyone is against us, don't worry about it. Worry about the one that is for us. Who is for us? God is for us. He'll never turn us down. He'll never leave us alone, because he loves us so much. And that's the reason why he gave up his life for us. Amen.